Bobby Collins, a tough and skillful attacking player, better known to Celtic fans as the Wee Barra, was part of numerous Celtic triumphs of the 1950s, and had a very successful post-Celtic career as well. This is his story. Collins was born on the 16th of February 1931. His family lived in the Pomadee area of Glasgow. After being educated locally, he worked as a miner and a cobbler, but these jobs would not define his life. Collins also played football for different teams in the area, including Pomadee Hawthorns and Pollock Juniors. The latter was the most important of these sides. Turning out for a prominent junior team brought Collins to the attention of scouts for different professional sides. When the time came for Bobby to move to the next level, it involved complaints and controversy. Everton were very interested in signing him, and even took the young Glaswegian to Merseyside. Collins agreed to this move, but then changed his mind and wanted to come to Celtic. This led to an off-the-field battle between the English side and the Celts. Eventually, this administrative argument came to an end, and Collins was able to properly sign for Celtic. He did so in 1948 and earned £8 per week at first. Season 1949-50 saw Collins become an important part of the Celtic squad. In August 1949, he made his debut for the Celts in a 3-2 League Cup victory over Rangers. He played in the majority of the Celts' games that season, including getting his first goal in green and white. This was the winning moment in a 3-2 victory over Hearts in September 1949. Bobby's first season in the Hoops was mainly unsuccessful, as his team failed to win any of the national competitions that they entered. However, he did celebrate his first trophy as the boys beat Rangers in the 1950 Glasgow Charity Cup final. This is sometimes better known as the Danny Kaye final, owing to the presence of the famous Hollywood actor at the match. By the start of the following season, which would prove to be more prosperous, it was clear that Bobby was now a first pick for the Celts. One news report said that he was as game as a pebble, built like a Bren carrier, and in his element at inside right. And this was despite being only 5'4" tall. Season 1950-51 saw the Celts toil in the league, eventually finishing in 7th place. They also struggled in the League Cup, Glasgow Cup and Charity Cup. However, their Scottish Cup experience was much more positive. By 1951, the Celts had not won a national trophy since league success in 1938. In April 1951, the Hoops had a chance to change this when they met Motherwell in the Scottish Cup final in front of a huge crowd of 132,000. Following a tight match, Celtic emerged as 1-0 winners, gaining their first national prize in 13 years. Bobby played his part by scoring in earlier rounds and now had his first major honour as a Celt. Weeks later, Bobby and the Celts would again celebrate. The Festival of Britain took place all across the UK, and a special football tournament was held in Scotland, called the St Mungo Cup. Eventually, Celtic beat Aberdeen to claim this prize in August 1951, before a trophy ceremony was held in Glasgow's Kelvin Hall after the game. However, neither the Scottish Cup nor St Mungo Cup proved to be a springboard to greater things for the Celts. With players such as Collins, Charlie Tully, Bobby Evans and Willie Fernie in the squad, Celtic should have achieved much greater success, but they often struggled to gel together. The next season was a washout as the club ended up in 9th place in the title race and failed to win any of the 4 other cup contests they entered. Season 1952-53 was little better. Again, the Celts emerged without any national trophies and lost the Glasgow Cup final on the basis of a coin toss. However, they won the Charity Cup at the start of May, before an even better moment occurred. In May 1953, a UK-wide tournament was held to mark the crowning of Queen Elizabeth. Given their general struggles, the Hoops were not expected to emerge victorious. Nevertheless, they confounded expectations by beating Arsenal and Manchester United, and then met Hibs in the final. Lo and behold, a green and white Hampden saw Celtic and Bobby claim the Coronation Cup. Not only did this victory lead to songs and celebrations still evident at the modern day Celtic Park, they proved to be the catalyst for Celtic's best season of the 1950s, and the club's high point until Jock Stein was back as manager in the 1960s. Season 1953-54 saw the Celts win their first league title for 16 years, and also their last one until 1966. Bobby was at the heart of this success, scoring 10 goals in 25 matches. However, he faced personal disappointment in the Scottish Cup. The boys reached the final where they faced Aberdeen and claimed a 2-1 win thanks to an own goal and another from Sean Fallon. However, partly due to injury, Bobby was not selected for any Scottish Cup matches, even though he was a near ever-present in all other tournaments. In Bobby's remaining time at Celtic Park, there would be no further league or Scottish Cup successes, and he was left out as Celtic lost the 1955 Scottish Cup final. However, the Glasgow Cup final of 1955 would be a special memory for Collins. He scored twice as Celtic claimed a Boxing Day prize with an exciting 5-3 win over Rangers. Bobby would eventually leave Celtic in 1958. Before that time, he would be part of two more prominent Celtic events, one in particular which remains a standout moment in Celtic's long and unbroken history. The Scottish League Cup began after World War II, but in its opening decade, Celtic very much struggled in the competition. That all changed in season 1956-57. For the first time, the Celts managed to reach the final, where they would face Partick Thistle. Bobby was an ever-present for Celtic in 1956 matches in the League Cup, as well as scoring in the group stages and quarter-finals too. He lined up in the final, but this ended goalless, leading to a replay 4 days later. This time, it was a very different outcome. Celtic easily overcame the Jags by 3-0, and Bobby scored one of these. For the first time, the Celts were League Cup holders. In season 1957-58, it was Celtic's turn to defend their position as League Cup winners. Again, they made it to the final, with Bobby in particularly successful scoring for them. Not only did he get group stage goals, he also found the net in two quarter-final ties and the semi-final as well. Standing in front of the Celts retaining their trophy were Rangers, who were favourites to win. In October 1957, tens of thousands of fans went to a sunny Hampden. By the end, they had watched a British record scoreline of Celtic 7, Rangers 1. Although Bobby didn't score any of these, he still played an important role in the victory. To this day, Celtic fans sing songs of that famous moment, thus etching Bobby and all of his teammates into club history. However, this proved to be the last time that Bobby would celebrate when wearing green and white. He started season 1958-59 in Glasgow's East End and was in top form. Not only did he score against Rangers in a league match, he also got 6 goals in 7 League Cup games. However, his time in Glasgow was at an end. When he first signed for Celtic, it had came amidst the signing battle with Everton. The Merseyside men clearly didn't hold a grudge and still hoped to see him wear their blue shirts. In September 1958, this came true. Celtic accepted a bid of just over £23,000 and Collins was on the move south. There was a certain mystery to this transfer. Some accounts suggested Bobby was unhappy with the move and was sold against his will. It was even suggested that Celtic had done this to raise the money to install floodlights at Celtic Park. However, manager Jimmy McGrory claimed that it followed a transfer request by Collins himself. Either way, the wee Barra's time in Glasgow's East End had concluded. It was a spell which featured many big successes and disappointments at other times as well. In future, Collins' time in England would prove to be just as notable. He spent almost 4 years at Goodison Park, where he became a popular figure, given the nickname the Little General. In particular, his goal scoring helped ingratiate him with the fans. This included an average of scoring once every 3 games during his time, and he was also the club's top scorer in his second season. This was a period of little success for the Merseyside men, although with Collins in their team, their league form showed improvement. When they arrived, he had been struggling with relegation, but were fighting at the top of the table by the time Bobby moved on in March 1962. His next destination was where he truly made his mark in English football. To the surprise of many Evertonians, Collins went to Leeds United, who at that point were at the wrong end of the second division and facing potential relegation to England's third tier. Manager Don Revie saw the Scot as having the on-field force and personality to help transform the Yorkshireman, and that was exactly what happened, along with other new signings such as Jack Charlton. Indeed, in later years, Revie, considered a legend at Leeds, described Collins as the best buy of my life. Leeds avoided relegation, and the following season came close to winning promotion, eventually finishing in fifth place. The next year, they did even better and finished at the top of the table, giving Bobby an English second division medal. Now that Leeds were in the top flight, it might have been expected they would struggle to adapt. Instead, they continued their meteoric rise, inspired by Bobby as their captain. In season 1964-65, the Whites finished level on points with Manchester United at the top of the First Division. Only a better goal average saw Leeds finish second and cost Bobby another championship medal. Leeds also faced disappointment in the FA Cup. They reached the final against Liverpool and at one point had hoped to claim a league and cup double. Instead, another side in red disappointed them and they lost the game. This match ended up having a Celtic and Glasgow connection. Liverpool entered the following season's Cup Winners' Cup, where they controversially beat Celtic in the semi-final. That season's final was held at Hampden Park, just a short walk from Bobby's place of birth. For Bobby at least, 1965 did give him some personal comfort in terms of being voted England's Footballer of the Year, the first time a Scotsman had received this award. He was also recalled to the Scotland squad. 1965-66 proved to be another frustrating year for Collins and Leeds. They again finished as runners-up in the First Division title race and had further reason to hate Liverpool. The Merseyside Reds had beaten them in the 1965 FA Cup final, then claimed the 1966 championship. However, this failure was not Bobby's main problem. Instead, he suffered a horrific injury which ruled him out for much of the season. Playing in the European Fairs Cup, Leeds drew Italian side Torino. The Englishmen won the home leg 2-1 and then travelled to Turin. A 0-0 draw in Italy meant Leeds were through to the next round, but they would play this without Bobby. A brutal challenge on the Scot by a Torino player broke his leg, and he would not play again until the very end of the season. By 1966-67, a great year in Celtic history, Bobby was again back playing and captaining Leeds. However, shortly after this, another injury ruled him out. It was clear that age and bad luck meant he could not continue to be the same player, and he was given a free transfer by Leeds in early 1967. This was not the end of Collins' playing story. He signed for struggling second division side Bury, but couldn't stop their relegation to the third division. He and some other players were even suspended by the club for failing to attend a meeting. However, by the following season, Bobby helped Bury back into the second division after they finished as runners-up. He was entering the nomadic stage of his career and was soon back wearing hoops in Scotland. But this time it was not Celtic's green and white, but instead Morton's blue and white. His 2 years in Greenock included different moments such as scoring against and helping Morton beat Collins' old rivals, Rangers. For Bobby, it was then next stop Australia. By 1971, he was persuaded to move to Ringwood City, but it proved to be a very short-lived experience. 2 months later, he seemed to be off to Hong Kong, but instead took up another Australian opportunity. He coached Hakoak, Eastern Suburbs, but this too lasted for only a few months. Despite being aged 40, Bobby still wanted to play. He returned to Britain and, after getting married, trained with his old team, Leeds United. He was soon picked up by Shamrock Rovers and played a few times for them, before doing the same for Oldham Athletic. This move brought about the next phase of Bobby's footballing life. By the end of season 1972-73, he had finally hung up his boots, becoming assistant manager for Oldham. His team were fourth in his first season, and they won the third division the following year. Bobby's growing and positive reputation meant it wouldn't be long until he became a manager in his own right. In 1974, he was appointed as boss at Huddersfield Town. However, his side were relegated from the second division and he was dismissed by December 1975. Collins returned to Leeds as a youth coach before Hull City made him their boss in 1977, but again this proved to be unsuccessful. He coached for a period at Blackpool before doing the same at Barnsley, which even led to him briefly becoming the manager at Oakwell. His final managerial job came at Gisley Celtic in the late 1980s. Many footballers hope to be well remembered at just one club. In Bobby Collins' case, numerous sides have hailed his influence. He remains a Celtic hero, and some Everton officials have called him one of the Merseyside team's most important ever figures. Legendary Leeds United player Eddie Gray once claimed that Bobby was probably the most influential player in the history of Leeds United. This is all high praise indeed. It was not simply club football where Bobby Collins made his name. He was a regular for Scotland and also chosen for the Scottish League select on various occasions. In terms of the dark blue of Scotland's national team, he played 31 times in total, scoring on 10 occasions. This spanned a 15-year spell from 1950 until 1965, and included playing and scoring in the 1958 World Cup finals. Following his long career in football, Collins worked in non-sport jobs, although he remained a welcome figure whenever he returned to any of his former clubs or attended supporters' functions. In 2002, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and died in February 2014. For Celtic fans, Bobby Collins will always be the wee barra and a man at the heart of some of the boys' most celebrated moments, not least the Coronation Cup win and 7-1 triumph of the 1950s. He is indeed a true Celtic legend. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic walking tours. Visit CelticWalkingTours.wordpress.com for more information.